Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, fellow soul listeners. This is Sardi, and I'm hoping that you are enjoying your evening. Not sure where you are, but regardless of where you are, I hope that the weather is great or to your liking. Tonight, we have yet another author. She goes by Kimberly Williams. She represents the one and only Bull City. For those that don't know what that means, that is Durham, North Carolina. Some people do say Durham, but I think that's just because they choose not to pronounce it accordingly. Her book is called No Longer Ugly Inside. And that title alone should intrigue you to listen in on this call, only because we are all ugly inside some kind of way. I definitely don't want to ruin, you know, what Kimberly is going to share with us. So without further ado, I want to introduce you all to the wonderful and fabulous author, Kimberly Williams.
Hello.
How are you this evening, ma'am?
I am great. How are you?
I am great. We've got one more day until the weekend, and I am looking forward to it.
Me too.
So before we go into the book itself, No Longer Ugly Inside, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I am from Durham, North Carolina, which they call the Bull City. I was actually born in Raleigh but raised here in Durham. I wrote my first book, and I did self-publishing, and I'm actually now working on my second book. So I actually like to write, but I also, you know, have a 9-to-5 like everybody else, but I love to write.
Okay. Now, are you married, single, do you have children?
I am single. I'm single. I have two daughters, ages 17 and 13. That and the train stops there, don't want any more. And I am single, and I wouldn't say certain, but I'm open.
Okay, so if there are any male listeners, whether or not that's you calling in or you're actually Skyping, because you can Skype to listen into Soul's Blog Talk Radio, know that Kimberly Williams is single. However, I would say that she is looking for a king and not a peasant. So definitely, you know, if you approach her, do it correctly.
Yes.
Now, your book, No Longer Ugly Inside. When I actually first got the invite to your page, I was like, oh, my God. What is this about? And so I immediately liked the page and, of course, reached out to you and wanted to feature you because, like I said before, the title alone makes me go in so many mental directions. You know, I won't share my directions. However, you know, the ugly inside piece is major, and it's really major for any sex. But it seems like it's most an issue for women. So tell us a little bit about that book.
Okay, well, No Longer Ugly Inside is actually a movement that I really started in my mind. So it all started with a mental picture, mainly because I do get a lot of compliments on my looks as far as, like, me being attractive on the outside. And, yeah, I try to stay in shape and whatnot. But there has always been this point in my life where I felt like, okay, I'm just ugly. I'm like, I'm bad. And it was mainly because of all the things that happened to me when I was younger, like from age, I would say probably 5 years old, as much as I can remember, up until like my early to maybe mid-20s. Because after then, by that time, I wised up and then started standing up for myself.
Okay, so are you saying that you were bullied?
Well, no. Well, I wouldn't say bullied. I wasn't bullied, but I was taken advantage of by men, grown men, meaning I was like 15 years old, and grown men would take advantage of me. So, and it would be like me thinking, okay, well, I'm thinking that they like me and that I'm such a special person, not, you know, that they're doing this because they love me. Because when you don't have love in your life and you have never really felt loved, you'll get it from anywhere you can, basically. And that's what I was doing.
Okay. So, wow. That's scary, you know, that
it
a
is.
Grown man would do that. But on the same token, it's also frightful that there was no one there to protect you from that. So,
exactly.
You know, were you being raised by your mother or grandmother or?
I was being raised by my mother, who was also being raised by, I mean, who had also been raised by someone who definitely didn't love themselves in the first place. So that's where I got the title No Longer Ugly Inside, because there's a lot of family secrets. And a lot of people like to keep things under the rug and just keep everything on the hush so that we don't make the family look bad. And so a lot of us, we die with those secrets inside of us. And that's what I said I was not going to do. I said I refuse to die with the ugly inside. I refuse to do that. Meaning you're going to know my story. You're going to know what happened. You don't have to like me for it, because I did get, you know, shunned from my family. My dad's side of the family basically won't talk to me, a lot of them, which is fine. I'm cool with that. But like I said, I did this for me so that I can get free in my mind, because I was holding everything in as if everything that happened to me was my fault. You know, even as a kid, like, well, I must be bad, or I must be ugly, or I must be, you know, on the inside. And people always say, oh, you're so pretty, but I don't feel it. It doesn't matter what you say or what I look like on the outside if I'm feeling ugly and torn and gross on the inside. So it really doesn't matter. So that's why I say I'm no longer ugly inside, because it took a lot of growing to get past that. It took a lot of self-talk, a lot of counseling, you know, to get past what happened to me as a kid and as a teenager. Because feeling like you, like, no matter what you do, nobody cares, not even your own mother, that's not easy. It's not easy growing up like that.
And, you know, I truly understand. I come from a sibling set of five. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I actually started the blog talk show was let people know, you know, I come from the limitations that I want people to address. You know,
mm-hmm.
my mom was a single parent. We originally are from South Carolina, and yes, I love my mother. I'm grateful for her bringing me into this world. However, I recognize my oldest sister as my mother, only because there were times in my life where my mom was here. She left us here for a year. Well, I'm sorry, she left us in South Carolina for a year, and she was here with a man. And, you know, if it wasn't for my sister through, you know, raising all of us up, because she raised the four of us pretty much, even when I got older, my sister was still that rock for me. And it is because of her that, you know, I was able to combat myself a little bit and go to school and do the things that I have done and accomplish the things that I have accomplished. And I pay homage to my sister, because without her, I honestly think that we would be in the foster care system. You know, my dad, yes, he lives in South Carolina, but my dad was not there. You know, I later on found out that I was the product of, you know, my mom and dad, you know, messing around. Like, they were not really in a relationship. He was actually in a relationship with another woman.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I look at my past, and, you know, yes, indeed, I was ugly inside. And I don't even know if all of that ugliness is gone. You know, there was a time where me and my sister almost got molested by one of my mom's boyfriends. We went and we shared that with her. We were called liars. After that, I used sex as a weapon. I mean, I can come out and say that I did.
I did. Yep.
At the time when I was in high school, my fatty parts were my breasts. And my mission every day in high school, just because of how ugly I was in the inside, was to entice someone else's boyfriend.
Mm.
And in turn, you know, it's funny when you have when you have homecomings and things come up. Like, I didn't go to homecoming for a long time, only because I did not want people looking at me as, oh, you know, she's still that chick that does this, or she's still that particular person. And so when I first got home out of the military in 03, I made my presence unknown. People did not know that I was actually home until like 2 or 3 years later. And when they found out, the first question was, well, how many kids do you have?
Oh.
And, you know, the way I've not always had tact. So when people come off at that, like me, like that at me, you know, I have to laugh now, because the expectation was indeed that I was going to follow in, you know, what you speak about when I did see a little bit about the book, A Generational Curse. The expectation was for me, as well as my sisters, to have multiple children with multiple men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I almost took part of that curse, because I have a daughter. She is my blessing. She is my heir, and I love her. But, yes, I did have her out of wedlock, and I had her out of a – and I can't even say a true relationship, because she has a sister that is 6 months older than her.
Mm.
And, you know, even with getting married, I got married at the age of 19 because I did not want to be labeled as the image that I had created in high school. So I was like, okay, let me get married, you know, let me do something differently. But what I didn't realize was that at the age of 19, marrying somebody that was a lot older than me, and to be honest, I still deal with people that are older than me, because I just cannot believe that a 37-year-old is mentally on my level. And, you know, with that, I had to face issues of domestic violence. I was raped when I first went into the military. And I personalized so much of what was going on with me, and I blamed it on my mother, because she was my model. Indeed, my sister was the true model. But I learned everything that I learned from my mother. And it hurts me to say that. But sometimes, especially as Black females, we are taught to not necessarily hail our kings. We are taught to beat them down. We are taught to use multiple ones of them to get what we want. And in turn, that tears us apart bit by bit, because what we don't know is when we give ourselves, especially intimately, when we give ourselves to someone intimately, we're giving them a piece of us each time.
There's a soul tie every time. Yep.
And the thing about it is that if you are indeed not giving yourself to a person that is worthy of that, and, you know, the honest, sex is real. People have sex every day outside of marriage. And it is what it is. We try to do better, but we're all fleshy creatures. And it is something about being intimate with someone that close to them, that body heat, that does something to a woman. And so we look for that to give us comfort. But in turn, if you're giving that to someone that can't respect it, he's ultimately giving you pain.
Yep. Which is exactly why I chose celibacy. For that very reason, because I realized that every time that you give yourself to someone, your souls are literally tying. And I mean, it's evident. You ever been around somebody, you start doing what they do, you, like somebody you're sleeping with, you say the things they say, you take on some of their ways or whatever. It happens, and people don't think it's real, but I do. And for one, my relationship with God is one thing that will not let me, you know, just say, well, I'm fleshy, I can't help it. I have to help it, because I see what happens to me when I didn't help it. I mean, I was a mess when I didn't. That's why I say, when I say ugly inside, even on up into like my mid-20s, because I had been married. I had been cheated on. Like you, I got married, 9 days after I turned 20? So just to say that I wasn't, you know, that I didn't have a child without him, my father, I mean, its father being there. And then I ended up having my second child by him as well. So, I mean, I don't know. At that time, I was just going downhill and going downhill. It's like I was tucking and rolling. And finally, something inside of me just said, well, reach out and grab a branch and pull yourself up. So that's what I had to do. I had to stop tucking and rolling, because when you are going downhill and you just ball up and keep going, you just, you know, self-destruction. So I had to stop doing that. And that's why to this day, right now, I choose not to have a man at all, because unless he is a king and unless he is led by God, he will not be in my life at all, period. I believe in a one to a box theory, meaning I came here alone, I'm going to die alone if I don't find the right one. Well, regardless, I'm going to die alone. But I'm not going to sit up here and settle for someone who's not led by God, because he wouldn't be able to handle me, for one. So, because, I mean, I've been through too much, I know too much, I've seen too much, I was ugly inside, and I don't want that ugly to come back. And I'm not going to say I'm perfect now, but I'm a whole lot better than I was. Because I used to, when I say use people, I mean, like you said about using men to get what you wanted, it was always my way or the highway, because I knew I looked good. And I even talked about in the book how I would look a man in his eyes and grab him by his soul and pull him in and get whatever I wanted from him, no matter who he belonged to. And that's how it was at the time. And I'm not saying that to be braggadocious or anything and to, like, you know, like, oh, I'm all that, but that was my life at a time. I didn't even have to work a job at a time because of that. And I wasn't on welfare. I wasn't on any of that at the time. It was because I literally was getting what I thought I wanted anyway. If anything, I was killing myself. I was digging my own way to hell is what I was doing, but didn't realize it. And a lot of folks are digging their way to hell and are still ugly inside and don't realize it. Or they think that they don't have any control over it. And I just don't believe that. I believe I have control. I believe that God gave me control. It's just that I had to get out of my way and start to use that control that I have. I mean, that's just the way it is. I feel like, especially once I became an adult, now maybe as a kid, of course, when I was like 5 years old, and if I was touched incorrectly, well, I ain't no if, I was touched incorrectly and, you know, things were done to me as a kid and as a teenager. So, yeah, I didn't have control of that then, but the older I got, I started realizing, hey, I got control, because I was using my control in the wrong way. Oh, I was controlling some things in the triangle that I should have been, but the point is, we have control.
And it depends on how we want to use that control. You know, when it comes to men, even when it comes to relationships with females, the unfortunate thing is that nowadays it seems like we are so into tearing each other down more than building each other up. And that makes us ugly as well, because you spend so much time concerned with what I'm doing, who I'm doing, just because you're not around when I'm doing it. And in turn, You're like, oh, well, you're not a great friend. You're not this and you're not that there. But when you're living your life, then no one says anything. You do you, your girlfriends do them, and when you come together, you continue to show that love for your queens, but you don't tear them down just because they're not there at that particular time when you feel like you need that pity party or that sense of misery that we tend to get.
Yes, definitely.
And so I am almost positive, you know, just from hearing the pieces that I have heard thus far, that you probably have some enemies somewhere.
Well, that's the thing. If I do, I don't know about it because they haven't come out. And it's not, I was very discreet, I can say that, during my time of being that, you know, and I'm sure there are some men who are thinking, I cannot stand her to this day, or I can't believe she's changed. Like, I've run into people that I've known when I was in that world, and they still expect me to be the same person. I'm like, uh-uh, she's gone, honey. She's not here anymore. You can't expect me to talk to you. I mean, I can, you know, say hey and bye and that's it. But there's no private conversation. There's no call of me. No one has my number that knew me then. So none of that's allowed at all. I don't even drive the same car as I drove then. It's like a lot has changed. So, I mean, it's like, I probably do have some people who don't like me, but as far as, like, sure enough enemies, I don't know, because it's mainly because, like I said, I was very discreet with mine, because I've always been a low-key person. I've never been that loud person that's out and, you know, got a lot of friends and that's just out there and doing whatever. I've never been that person. I've always been the smart one with mine, although it wasn't a good thing that I was doing, but I was still being smart with it.
Right, because, you know, our preacher, he talks about, you know, everybody in the boat with you. And, you know, that's symbolic, because a lot of times we think that we have these individuals that are going to row for us, but given the opportunity, they'll actually hit us with the thing that they're rowing with. And so, you know, I had to start looking at a lot of things. With everything, I guess the past year and a half, I've had the opportunity to, I guess, grow mentally within myself, because, you know, a lot of things trigger your ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to grow out of it. However, when you have people that, even though you've grown, there's just this particular person that could really get up under your skin and make you out to be something and someone that you are not. I can literally say in the last year and some change, you know, it's been a challenge for me and, you know, my own skeletons and my own things in the past, you know, especially with being dark-skinned. Dark-skinned females are taught that just because of our pigmentation of our skin, we are incapable of doing a lot of things like our highly lighter skinned sisters, and my complexion has nothing to do with my capabilities.
That's right.
And so sometimes it plays on me on occasions, you know, when I see, you know, that privilege that still remains for our light skinned sisters. And we as the dark-skinned, complexed individuals, we do have it hard, and people do judge us on occasion just by our looks.
Yeah.
No one knows our mind. No one knows the inner parts of us. They base it off historical misfacts. That's what I'll call them, misfacts. And they believe that, you know, that just makes us bad people. And again, you know, that goes into that ugly part.
Uh-huh. And I think that they expect, because we're not light, that they expect you to think less of yourself. Like, just looking at you, they expect, well, she can't have, you know, that much of self-esteem with herself. I mean, there's no way, because she's dark. I mean, she's not, you know, and it's the media, too, that doesn't help, and people just feed right into it. And it gets me, because I have both a dark skin and a lighter skin daughter. So with them being totally opposite in, like, you know, complexion, I have to tell both of them, you're beautiful, but I have to work on my darker skin child more, because she gets more grief.
And, you know, I really don't understand that, you know, my things that I deal with, my ugly things, are, you know, they're so superficial. Like my stretch marks. And, you know, even though people at work feel like I'm the skinniest person on staff, which I doubt, because we have a lot of skinny white women, you know, I have a stomach that I was not able to lose after I lost my second child. And that was like years ago, you know. And then, you know, my options for contraceptives didn't really help, because Defo puts a lot of weight on you, and it takes a while to get that weight off. It's just not what doctors tell you. And then the lack of discipline to go to the gym, and, you know, just many things contribute to our ugly.
And we have to, at some point, we have to do something to recognize that some of our ugly is stuff that we have personally fabricated within us, along with the situations in our lives, whether or not we were pushed into them or the things that we allowed ourselves to be engulfed in. Because some of that stuff we had something to do with. We made the choices to do what we wanted to do because we felt like it made us beautiful, like it made us pretty.
Yep. And that is true. And one thing I like that I've heard people say is that out of the things that I've done to myself and the things that people have done to me, there's some treasure in this trash. So that's taking responsibility, meaning, you know, it's not just what, oh, poor me, woe is me. I mean, what they've done to me. It's the things that I'm doing to myself as well, which is what is most important to me. What can I control? What am I doing to myself that's making me ugly inside that I can stop? And that's what I had to look at. I literally had to relive. Like, it took me 3 weeks to write this book, and I know it should have taken longer, but it didn't, because I literally had to relive things, meaning, like, going in my mind, like, every day after work. Sometimes it would drain me to the point where I literally got depressed. Like, I felt like I was back in, you know, back in my 14-year-old self. I mean, it was crazy. So it's like I literally had to relive a lot of stuff. And even to this day, I'll find myself, like, you know, you get these mental flashes of the past or whatever. I'll find myself thinking back, and I'll get stuck in that thought, and I'll be like, nope, I can't go there. I can't rest in that place no more because I can't spend the – I've spent the first half of my life, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but the majority of my life ugly as I don't know what on the inside. I would like to spend the rest of it at least feeling good and beautiful on the inside. I would really like to.
And I know from those lashes, honey, and we talked about it outside of here. We're not going to share what we talked about, but your lashes are on fleek.
Thank you, girl.
They are amazing. So the next time I am in Durham, please know I'll be like, Kimberly, I'm going to need you to do this.
Yes, girl. I've been doing, like, things different. Well, I just, you know, started doing the lashes. But I've been into makeup and hair and all that stuff since I was, like, probably 12.
Oh, no. I didn't get into makeup. Honestly, I didn't get into makeup until I made the decision to start selling it. And even now, like, my biggest thing, I love lips. Like, I don't have lips, so anything to make my lips pucker,
uh-huh,
or to make them bold, yes. And my eyes are big enough, so I don't have to do too much, but I'll put on some shadow and liner. Like, I can do the wing perfectly, just up top. I don't know about all that other fancy stuff. So, but, I mean, even with makeup, like, sometimes people don't realize that our hair makes a difference, and makeup makes a difference. And it doesn't make us. We make it. But there are some days where that red lipstick just makes you feel like you are the most powerful person in the world. That new blonde hair or that dye you put in your hair, you know, makes you just feel like, you know what, I got this and everything else that comes at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even though it's superficial, you know, it's something that we can contribute to take it away from that ugly. And I believe, you know, if indeed that's something that you need to do, then you do it. But also recognize that prior to that foundation, that lipstick, or whatever other makeup item that you use, your natural beauty is amazing. Your natural glow is like no other. And I need a lot of women to recognize that. Sometimes I need to recognize that because there are still days that I'll go back and for whatever reason, you know, I'll remember the day that I got raped and I'm like, okay, what did I have on? What did I say? what were my mannerisms, you know? Like, did I cause this? Did I cause myself to get hit by my ex-husband? Did I cause, you know, my mother's ex-boyfriend to try to molest me? And then I look at the things that I did in high school, and I was like, wait a minute. Though the situations are different, and my mindset was different, the behaviors ultimately led to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look into myself, because I don't want anyone to feel that if they're listening or if they, you know, play this back, I am not at all a victim of anything that I've experienced. It is because of those experiences that I am able to share, you know, my testimony. And I hope that anyone listens understands that regardless of what trials and tribulations, mountains, and milestones you go through, you can come out and be the most beautiful swan. And that's ultimately what people should take away, I think, you know, from your book. So
yes.
how do people actually purchase your book? How do they get in touch with the magnificent Kimberly Wimp?
Okay, well, I actually have a page through the self-publishing that I did. It's on lulu.com, that's L-U-L-U.com, and you'll type in Kimberly Williams, or you can just type in No Longer Ugly Inside, and you'll see my author spotlight will come up. And I also have it so that you can either order it in the PDF format, meaning you can just go ahead and download it, or you can order the printed copy.
Now, if you order the PDF format, I know there are other authors that I featured. Is the PDF indeed free?
No, it's not free. It's a little cheaper, but it's not free.
Okay. Now, tell us about this movement, only because if given the opportunity, I would love, well, I'm going to meet you anyway. I'm just going to speak that into existence because I'm in Durham just too many times not to do that. But I would love to have the opportunity to have, you know, young girls actually hear your story. So tell us a little bit about this movement.
Well, this movement is about speaking out against anything that is like that you're holding inside that is making you feel ugly. It's also about shining the light on sexual abuse that's within families that are people are hiding and, you know, and it's not just women. This is for little boys and girls as well. I mean, boys as well. It's not just women who get molested or girls who get molested. You know, it's boys and girls. So therefore, it's not just for us, but it's so that you can feel like, okay, what happened to me is not my fault. Because, and it actually worked. I mean, it's already, you know, working because it was a little girl at my daughter's high school whose uncle, she was pregnant by her uncle, and she didn't want to tell anyone. And I didn't even think stuff like that happened. I thought that was just like some old back-in-the-day Color Purple type stuff. Like, I didn't think that happens now. I mean, I hardly ever hear about it now happening. And she was literally carrying her uncle's baby. And I was like, oh my God, like, why would she even tell you this? And she was like, because I was telling them about your book because I had my flyers and I had my daughter passing them out at school. And it was very shameless plug, yeah. But I had her plugging them out, handing them out at school. And the girl asked my daughter what the book was about, and she told her. And so she felt comfortable with letting her know that the baby that I'm pregnant with is my uncle.
Wow.
And I'm like, who knows how much of that mess is going on? I don't know, but it seems like when I tell my story or somebody finds out about my book, I start hearing some stuff that I didn't even think was still going on. And that shouldn't be still going on, but I hear some things. So basically this movement is about, you know, tell somebody, don't be ashamed, do not feel like it's your fault. And get some help, and because some people can't just tell their parents. I told my mom, and it was flipped around on me, like if it was my fault.
Right. Like, what did you do? Why did that happen?
Yeah. Well, my thing is, what in the world could I do if I'm your child could make you want to have sex with me? That's my thing. Like, what? I mean, I take no blame in that, but used to. I literally used to blame myself. I even wanted to kill myself because of that. I literally used to blame myself because of what my dad did to me.
Wow. And, you know, it's weird that you said dad because I think I'd had my daughter already. So I think I was about 26. And my half-sister, who is the daughter of my dad, we were at her house in Charlotte. And, you know, we started having a conversation on how she was raised by him because he wasn't around for me. And that's when she told me that our dad had molested her. And because I have this very powerful mind, I am able, just like anybody else, I suppose, with a bad memory, I am able to just literally block out so many parts of my life. And because I drained most of it with alcohol when I was coming up, that I had to actually ask my sister on my mother's side whether or not my dad had the opportunity to molest me. And maybe that's why, you know, I was the way I was with men. You know, but my sister said that never happened. So, again, you know, I had to look at the environment that I was in and how that contributed to, you know, what I became at that time in my life. Now, I do want people to know that just because your environment is one thing does not mean you have to remain that way.
Yes.
You know, there is a blessing in the time of a storm, and you either have to grab that blessing or at the end of the day, you know, our God is who he is, and he does things for whatever reason. If you don't get the test the first time, or you don't get whatever you're supposed to get from the test, he is just that type of God that he's going to make sure that you get it. Now, whether or not you go through this big hot mess of everything, eventually you're going to get that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And so, listeners, if this book sounds like something that intrigues you, definitely go to lulu.com. I plan on purchasing the book myself. Once I purchase the book, I will actually, you know, feature it on my Facebook pages. How would they find you, Kimberly, however, if, say, someone wanted you to come speak or someone desired just to reach out to you, you know, just
okay.
to, because, you know, sometimes people hear your voice and be like, man, she might be a really cool person just to chat with from time to time.
Okay, yes. I actually do have a Facebook page. It's No Longer Ugly Inside. You can just type that in. It's probably the only one on there, at least I hope so. And also, you can email me directly at kwilliams5335@gmail.com. I do not mind you emailing me directly. That is perfectly okay.
All right. So, I know we hit a lot in our 38 minutes. Is there anything that you want to share with the listeners that we have not already talked about or, you know, not stated?
I just don't want to, I want to leave the listeners with, you know, knowing that, yes, a lot of things may have happened to make it so that I can write this book in the first place, but I do still look at my book as a blessing. So I don't look at it as something that, you know, is, in fact, and in a way, and it sounds crazy, but I thank God for the storm and the rain and everything that I've been through because I am so strong today. I'm nowhere near what people expected me to be. I'm educated. I am gainfully employed. I take care of my children. I don't have any, you know, problems where I'm not on drugs or alcohol anymore. So, I mean, things are looking up. So it's just to say that you can come from a bad place, but it does not mean you have to stay there. And I hope that by the time you, when you read the book, you'll get towards the end and there'll be some discussion so that maybe if you have like a book club, then y'all can discuss and answer questions in the back of the book because that is, it is in the book. And I just want you to, you know, feel positive, take something positive away from this. Just know that when you get in a bad place, it does not mean you have to stay there.
Now, with you being so close, of course, I have to ask, do you have any of these books on hand?
I think I have like two. I'm not sure. I think I have two on hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm trying to get you to list here, right?
Yes. I could definitely get one to you.
All right. So, I mean, that might not be a bad idea, Kimberly, to actually start a book club. And again, with you being so close, you know, you can just pop up one night and people be like, oh, my God, is that her type situation?
Yes. And, oh, I'm sorry, I just wanted to say one more thing. My next book is called Create Your Own Good Enough. It's already copywritten and everything. It's on the way. So I just wanted to bring that up. Create Your Own Good Enough will be out soon.
Okay. That sounds interesting as well. Create your own goodie. That sounds like some kind of dessert.
Good enough, meaning, yeah.
Oh, good enough. See, my mind went to goodies. I'm thinking about candy.
Oh, no. Create your own good enough, meaning I'm good enough for this, you know.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah, but this is just too exciting. Like, I got so excited. Wow. So if you could close out with anything, you know, exactly what would it be?
If I could close out with anything. My favorite thing to say, if you're going downhill, never, ever tuck and roll. Reach out, grab onto a branch, and get some help. And that branch could be a family member, it could be the police, it could be a counselor. Just don't tuck and roll and give up on life. Try to pull yourself back up and give yourself a fighting chance. Don't do the snowball effect, please.
And just to add to that, Souls listeners, you know, there's a poem called Road Less Traveled. A lot of times we choose the road that we already know someone has traveled, because we know what that road looks like. We were there when they traveled it. If indeed that is not the road that you want to walk on, then do better and continue to do better, because everything in your life, for the most part, you have the opportunity to change. If you are indeed ugly inside, do like Mary Jane does, post the notes all over your bathroom. It's your bathroom.
Yes.
Or if you have a dry erase board, put some self-affirmations on there. You can get dry erase markers and mark all over your mirror. Whatever you have to do to release your ugly and get back your beauty, release it. Yes. Because it's nothing worse than anything than to know that you're hurting inside and you continue to allow it to engulf you. So I thank you so much, Kimberly Wales, and definitely know that this is not your last time on the Soul Virtual
thank
Couch.
You for, yes, thank you for having me.
And, all right, Soul listeners, we will close out this evening. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your evening as well as your weekend. Have a great day.